Blog Talk Radio.
November 29th, 2022, and our discussion tonight will focus but not necessarily be exclusively about the economy crashing. As the economy crashes, it falls hardest on those on the economic bottom. The capitalist economy is collapsing on us right now. What must we do? And so since this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, and I see the mics are open and people are jumping on this call like nobody's business, I'm going to get out of the way. And folks, we've got to really state the problems clearly and give some clear suggestions for solutions. And everybody be mindful that there's somebody else that wants to get on. So try to judge carefully what you're going to say. Brother Ralph Pointer, what is happening?
Well, good evening, my brothers and sisters, and thank you so much for taking your time to be on this program of education. We're talking about education, education, education. And I look forward to be educated by you. But let me get into the subject. As the economy crashes, it falls hardest on those on the economic bottom. That's you and me, my brothers and sisters. The capitalist economy is collapsing on us, Now what must we do? Well, we must first understand it. When we say it is collapsing, it's not like a wall is falling down. It's like a brick on the wall at the bottom is being pulled out. Meaning, the dollar that you had last week does not buy you as much this week as it did last week. Now, let's take that further. The dollars you had 10 years ago do not buy you the services that they did 20 years ago. And so the diminishing value of the money you have in your pocket is what the collapse means. Now, that's a nice term. Your money doesn't buy as much. And so what are you buying? You're not buying, well, there are some among us who do buy Nazi mobiles, Mercedes, BMW, etc. But what? Where are they living? What is the economy behind it? What is their education? What is the future? That is not thought about. But let us continue. We have a situation where this past week, while going down Nostrand Avenue, I saw the largest gathering of hungry people that I have ever seen in my life. And what do I mean, hungry people? People gathered in line to receive their turkey or whatever the church was giving out. There were police cars, and they were, I don't know if they were necessary because everyone seemed very organized, very not content, but very well-disciplined, self-disciplined in the lines. Now, my grandson wanted to take pictures, but I says, we cannot take pictures because imagine yourself on the line, on the block-long line, blocks filled with people, and somebody coming by taking pictures. It does not help. It hurts. Believe you me, my brothers and sisters, we are in greater trouble now than we have been in a long time. Now, what's the purpose of this program? What are we to do? We must understand it, and what we try to do is give you facts and philosophy, and you will bring me facts and philosophy to educate me, and I will begin with Frederick Douglass. And one of the things he said, slavery and education are incompatible. That means you can't be educated and be a slave. And we'll take it a step further. Oppression and education are incompatible. And if you have your knowledge, then you become very angry once you understand how the system works. And many are hungry and depressed. And we're going into the Christmas season, and it breaks my heart. Our dear sister Lynn Stewart loved Christmas, and she had difficulty understanding why I didn't love it. Basically, Christmas is a season of giving, but you have to have something to give. And people on the bottom of the economic ladder look at the same television ignorant box as the people at the top, and they see happy people giving with even one commercial where a son-in-law gave his father-in-law a car, a BMW. Well, if you're not eating and you're looking at this, it can be heartbreaking. And every year, every Christmas year, you hear where people have hit the bottom. When you hear a mother or a father has stabbed their children, that's the bottom. Why? Why would they do that? Because of the oppression, they cannot give their children what they see on television, what the parent sees on television. The parent feels guilty. What am I doing with this child? Almost like slaves on a slave ship, throwing their babies overboard, dumping overboard. It's time to end this because we don't seem to be able to do anything about it. But there is an answer, and we are the answer, you and me. And what do? We have a philosophy. Our dear sister Lynn told us before she joined the ancestors, when somebody asked her, well, Miss Stewart, while she was making a speech, how do you see the idea of, and Sister Betty reminds me I have time, how do you see the idea of fascism? What is fascism? And Lynn Stewart's answer was, fascism is when what they do to have been doing to black people all along, they begin doing it to white people. And then white people understand it's fascism. And here we are today. What they have been doing to black people all along, they do to white people. Now let's jump to the municipal workers. We've been talking for years about a national health program. Obama promised it in his first campaign. Of course, we never got it. And so then we got the Affordable Care Act, people called the Obama Act, supposed to make the Affordable Care Act better. Wait a minute. It is better. Better than what? Better than what we had, but we wanted a national health care program that would solve many problems. We didn't get it, and they're still messing around with it. And we see the people who lost housing in the 2008 economic crash. And I submit to you, those were not, well, there were a few black people, but most people who lost their houses were white people. What happened, what has been happening to black people all along is beginning to happen to white people. Here in New York City, we have the municipal workers' health programs. And what are the politicians trying to do? What are the corporate unions trying to do? Take the health programs and privatize it with corporations that have been sanctioned for corruption. They're taking it back. They call it austerity. Call it what you want. It is a few people taking from the many. And one of the things we said many years ago, don't you understand when those who have wealth can't take it from around the world, imperialism, when the Cubans say no more, when the Vietnamese say no more, when the Chinese say no more, and all of those countries, the Venezuelans say no more, the Nicaraguans say no more, who are they going to take it from? They're going to take it from you and me. Because we're not saying no more, because we don't even understand what's happening. So this evening, we want to give you a little bit of what is happening. And so, to continue our program in the manner which we have continued our program over and over and over again, hoping that there's some way we can reach people to educate them, because education and oppression are incompatible. And so let's get a picture. Had enough downtime with me. We have our Professor Louis, our parrot in residence, who's going to educate and entertain us through poetry, which is a reminder when we have poetry of our dear sister Lynch, who used to educate through poetry. Professor Louis, your microphone is open.
All right. Lies, lies, whoppers and lies, lies that rise right through the skies. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, don't eat the French fries. It's lies, lies, whoppers and lies. We live our lives surrounded by lies. Everybody gets crazy. It's no big surprise. You can't seal the deal on what's really real. How are you going to know how you even feel? That TV in your place lies right in your face. You need our bank to win the race. Get McDonald's. It's a happy meal. Heart attack, diabetes, and stroke, that's for real. And the beautiful people drink Coors beer. Never fear, it's clear, there's no drunk beer bellies here. Buy this car, get that girl. Buy this phone, get the whole world, and don't scram. Here's the program, wham, a police show. Good-looking cops want justice. There they go. On the show, these police are all so good. They stood for everyone in the neighborhood. And you meet a real cop on a real street, he'll curse your ass and beat your meat. And on TV, you can see working people are not that smart. TV racists and gangsters always have a heart. And that internet you get, it's amazing. It's true. But you better watch what it's telling you. What if sometimes Google lies? No big surprise, it's some filthy rich guys. That's who decides what's right or wrong, what's a good song. The history of the whole world, real short, not long. And Facebook gives a good, good friend. It don't send when this friend is gonna end. Is it a lie or just part of the deal? To know if your friend is even real and you call up a billion-dollar corporation. Here's the situation. No one's home. They didn't pay nobody to answer the phone. You get a robot lying with that voice you trust. Your call is important to us, and you already know about politicians' lies. They get the prize for lies right in front of your eyes, and that politician gets a liar for hire, and when he gets tired, the liar gets fired, and a real big whopper through and through, sad but true. It's the lie that this guy cares about you. You've got liberal news, conservative news, whatever views you choose, they all give you the blues. They ask some questions, but for what it's worth, they all say our country's the greatest country on earth. And it's hard to ignore who really started the war. Thousands dead or more, and are we still good people down to the core? And will the news get sore if we ask what the war was for? And there is no doubt, when you figure it out, ultra-liberal democratic bullshit is better than racist, fascist, Republican bullshit. But a lie is a lie is a lie, and there is some stuff that just won't fly. You're looking at two corporate parties, corporate in their money-raising, corporate in their priorities, both ready to throw you under the bus, all the time saying, we and us, like working people and billionaires, got something in common. While they stay on top and keep us on the bottom. It's lies, lies, whoppers and lies. Lies that rise right to the skies. Lies like the devil in disguise. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't eat the French fries. It's lies, lies, whoppers and lies.
Thank you again for that, Professor Louis. And I remind everybody, this program is archived. You can listen to Professor Louis as I do over and over again. Thank you again, Sister Betty.
Normally we take a lot of time because we have many political prisoners and serious crisis going on. They are at war with us on all levels, but there are some people who for decades have been pushing back against the war. And right now, you're going to hear one of them. And when we talk about a solution to this war that they are waging against us, there is something you can do about it. And there are some people out here who are trying to do something about it. A sister, Athea, Nanwen Gaza, of Stolen Lives, and many other organizations. Your microphone is open for this special announcement. People, get your notes section of your cell phone ready. Take these notes on what you can do about it. Your mic is open, Sister Athea.
Uhuru.
The whole world, freedom.
Free the land.
Please continue.
It's my pleasure to be with you all this evening to call attention to the upcoming Stolen Lives installation of persons murdered by law enforcement. And it's particularly relevant given your opening comments regarding the collapsing economy. With those of us on the bottom, which winds up being escalating at this point in time of the year. It's the time when the martial law in the Constitution-free zones that are our communities is enhanced with the militarization of the cops and the criminalization of poverty and demonization of the poor. And it's during this time that we've come together to remember what we call our political prisoners on one hand and the prisoners of politics. I want to point out that Kevin Johnson, who was referenced last week on last week's show, a brother who as a teenager used self-defense and outrage against the warriors, the state warriors in Missouri to avenge the death of his brother, is scheduled to be executed this evening. And that
has been executed. They did it.
Okay. And with the denial of his 19-year-old daughter's request to be present and to be of comfort to him. It's particularly significant that the cops, or law enforcement as they like to be called, was involved in that situation, as is so often as it relates to our political prisoners and the continuing attention that the FOPs of the world, the Fraternal Orders of Police, monitor their cases in order to make sure that they are humiliated, criminalized, and die in prison. We applaud the work of the masses of our people who have worked tirelessly for the past 50 years to free them and to gradually be successful at that. The most upcoming one, December 16th, I believe is the exact date, when Dr. Mutulu Shakur is expected to be released and to be able to go home. On Saturday, December 3rd, at 3 o'clock, the Stolen Lives Project will conduct its team induction ceremony, bringing to attention persons in our community slaughtered by law enforcement. The Stolen Lives induction ceremony is a solemn yet empowering program to affirm the dignity and worth of our community individually and collectively. The Stolen Lives Project is a particularly important project because it is a grassroots project which began over 25 years ago, documenting the epidemic of police murder in our communities. It was created at a time when there was no Google or internet that you could sit down and put in
the Washington Post database or some other database that was keeping a record. Instead, you had to actually go to the library across this country and collect that data. The Stolen Lives Project, an initiative by the Revolutionary Communist Party led by Bob Avakian and under the direction, the project under the direction of Carl Dix and Sister Catherine, carried that and brought that project forward, creating the atmosphere and the environment that emboldened the family members to stand up for the loved ones murdered by the cops and to build the foundation for the movement that we see today that is has the nice, neat name of police accountability. Out of that effort, we have the Stolen Lives induction ceremonies. Since 1997, there have been more than 13 Stolen Lives induction ceremonies. While most have been held in New York, more than half a dozen have been held around the country. Excuse me. And they've taken place in the community, community spaces, schools, churches, recreation centers. In December of 2020, both in consideration of COVID and the conditions under which we were living at that time, the first national and virtual ceremony was organized. Families and other loved ones in over 80 stolen lives locally and from other parts of the country took part in that that first event. The upcoming one on this coming Saturday, December 3rd at 3 o'clock, the Stolen Lives Induction Ceremony will cover and memorialize participation of families in Arizona, California, Florida, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, and the state of Washington. So as you can see, the epidemic has not abated. The cops still kill over 1,000 people a year. And so it goes to the question of what is it that we must do that is in fact going to end the war on our communities, this constitutional free zone that cops are allowed to roam with a badge and a gun and kill at will under the guise of fearing for their lives and not ours. The induction ceremony can be viewed live stream on YouTube.com. We urge everyone to tune in 3 o'clock Saturday, December 3rd, for the Stolen Lives induction ceremony, wherein families will be participating in telling the stories of their loved ones. Those families will include Valerie Corbett, who is sister of retired Army Major Gulia Dale III, who was killed by Newton, New Jersey police on July 4th, 2021. She'll be presenting Nacha Pinnell and Thelma Pinnell, Dantzler, sister and mother of Philip Pinnell, killed by Teaneck police April 10th, 1990. Melody Cooper, mother of Kwamina Aukrin, killed by Gaithersburg, Maryland police January 8th, 2021. Medina Person and Abdul Malik Muhammad, sister and stepfather of Carl Dorsey, killed by Newark police January 1st, 2021. Others will follow. Libations will be offered by New African Voodoo priest Dr. Kwame Kalamara, welcomed by Sister Mother Juanita Young, and others. So we encourage everyone to come out, take this moment to tune in on YouTube.com in order to affirm the dignity and worth of ourselves and of our relatives, our community, and to stand tall on their behalf. Not only standing tall on their behalf, but also it sanctifies the service of our political prisoners. Almost every one of them, with minor one or two exceptions, resulted from encounters with the cops, and the resistance that was necessary is necessary to defeat the hot war that is waged against us on a daily basis. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that. That is the complete story. But understand, when this project got started, every year there was an addition. In a few short years, the book became so big, it was bigger than a New York telephone book, so they just added additions, and now it goes to computer. Understand, it's the Army of Occupation, not the police. That's a euphemism. Army of Occupation doing their job, intimidating and killing is what an Army of Occupation does. And we must understand our role in supporting those who fought against the Army of Occupation. Put the brakes on them. That is our Army of Occupation, the Black Liberation Army, the Black Panther Party, those brothers and sisters who fought to defend our communities. We must free them. And this is what this program is about, understanding why they fought, why it was necessary. So free our political prisoners. Thank you so much. Many of us have been hurt by the Army of Occupation, the unjust. One more time.
Yes.
Right. We got your background noise. We've opened up the mics for the people from Jericho and the people from Free Mamiya Coalition.
I will start off with Sister Ann, and I want to thank all of my political prisoner warrior comrades for getting on tonight, because there's an amazing fundraiser going on right now that's being zoomed to the East Coast to support Matula Shakur. So, Sister Ann, I'll let you start off, and we got Gwen and Brother Kazi on the line.
Yes.
You know how to pace yourself. Thank you for getting on. I know how much you wanted to be in solidarity with the fundraiser for Matulu Shakur tonight. Your mic is open.
With the fundraiser for Matulu Shakur, because it starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So,
what it is. Okay.
And
all right.
7 Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you go to jerichoify.org and scroll down, there's the registration link. If anybody's interested, you can probably still register. So that will be happening tonight. Should be really good. We have two of Matulu's sons, Mopreme and Talib, will be speaking. Jericho National Chair Jihad, who's also, you know, a former political prisoner. He did time with Matulu. Bob Lederer, who has done a lot of work around Matulu's investigation of COINTELPRO and also does a lot of work around the issue of health care, and Sister Dekui Keone Siddiqui. And that is a fundraiser because Matulu will be coming home soon. But I wanted to also read a statement from Leonard Peltier. You know, we just had the day of mourning last week. The United American Indians of New England have been doing a day of mourning up at Plymouth Rock for 53 years. This was the 53rd day of mourning. And they always dedicated to Leonard ever since he's been captured, and he always writes a statement for them. It's short. He says, "Greetings, my relatives, friends, loved ones, and supporters. First, I want to say how deeply grateful I am that you would want to hear what I have to say. It is an honor to be with you in spirit, though I am far away. Being my age and having spent these many years in prison plays on your heart to the nth degree. I am here because I wanted to make a difference for our people, and I want to encourage others to do the same. My heart has not changed, and my intentions have not changed. The love and faith I have in our future generations has not changed. All the world now faces the same challenges that our people fought regarding climate damage being caused by people who take more than they need, dismissing the teaching of our ancestors and the knowledge of countless generations living upon the earth in harmony. I may sound a bit dramatic and sensitive, but after all these years and the 78 journeys around the sun, I often feel and think that I should speak my mind and heart to whomever I can, whenever I can, because at my age, you never know if you're going to live another 20 years or another 20 minutes. Our people are a lot. Generations have been imprisoned, beaten, murdered, dispossessed of our lands, and they fought so we might live. We are proud of our ancestors. I have tried to make the best of my time upon the earth in my given circumstances. To say the least, this has not been an enjoyable life journey, but I am proud to have been given a chance to stand for our people. I encourage you to do the same. I am not a speaker, but I have spoken. I am not a leader, but I have led. Having said this, knowing what I know now, feeling what I've felt, seeing what I've seen, and hearing what I've heard, I would do it all over again. For as our ancestors loved the future for us, I love all people who have walked upon this earth. I recognize her as the greatest manifestation of the Creator, and she should be recognized as such. On this day of mourning, I encourage you with a hopeful heart to continue to gather and have ceremony in remembrance of all our people, especially those who have given their lives so that we might live. Each of you has within you the potential to make a difference in the world. Each one of you has the opportunity and ability to do one act of kindness to someone in need and one act to make the earth a better place for all life. I, with the help of others, have started a food forest movement. We encourage all people throughout the earth to plant at least one fruit-bearing tree so that the animals and all creatures of the earth will have healthier food, better air, and cleaner water. Forgive me if I have said too much or too little. Time in this place is often irrelevant to the task at hand. May the Creator bless you, your families, and all our peoples of like mind. Peace, love, and blessings. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Peltier.
Thank you, sister.
One more very short thing. Go to jerichony.org and do what needs to get done. Sign that petition to Biden so that he will, damn it, sign that clemency paper and let this man out. And you can also call the White House. You can email the White House. And you can just keep the pressure on Biden to finally, after so many years, finally do the right thing for Leonard Peltier.
Thank you, Sister Ann. All right, 7785, first three digits, 740, 7785. Let's keep it moving, guys. Let's keep it moving.
Greetings, comrade.
Yes.
I'm just here still a little choked up after hearing Leonard's powerful, beautiful, and so real words. Leonard is an old comrade of mine. We spent many days and years together behind different walls. Same thing with Mutulu. I would just suggest to everybody that at 10 o'clock or soon thereafter, they go to that Jericho, Oakland Jericho website and join that webinar for Mutulu. And with that, I'll just leave it there and let others continue speaking.
Sister Gwen, your mic is open. Comrade Gwen, your mic is open.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for inviting me to the program. So just giving you a brief update, Mumia has another hearing on Friday, December the 16th. And the hearing really is, in a nutshell, it's the judge, Lucretia Clemens of the Common Pleas Court of Philadelphia, will be making her final ruling in his case, basically whether to hear the new evidence and grant a new evidentiary hearing or to dismiss it. And if she dismisses it, which we hope that she doesn't, we're on a wing and a prayer. She left a little bit of an opening, even though she on the face of it, she basically wrote in her 31-page denying Mumia's appeal. However, she did leave a little window for the defense, Mumia's attorneys, to write another brief supporting the evidence that was recently found, because the defense was able to get a hold of 6 boxes of Mumia of the trial record, and in those records it was a note from a key witness that testified against Mumia saying, basically, where is my money? And they also found evidence of stacking the juries with mostly white citizens of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is 40% black. However, the lead attorney, the lead prosecutor Joseph McGill, prevented the appropriate number of blacks from sitting on that jury. So anyway, to reiterate, it's a very crucial hearing coming up. December 16th it's a Friday. We have a bus leaving from New York City at 5:30. We're asking people to assemble at 5:30. We leave at 6 from 17th and Park in New York City, right by Union Square. We have a charter bus, and we have plenty of seats. Go to bringmumiahome.com. Bringmumiahome.com. We cannot let this judge, this black judge, who basically, it sounds like to me, she's representing her class interests, and rather than the interests of the people who she was sworn to protect. Mumia has been sitting in prison for over 40 years now for something clearly he did not do. He did not have a fair trial, and it's time that the judges there acknowledge that and stop running away from the truth. And the truth is, Mumia is clearly innocent. He never had a fair trial. The original trial judge said, I'm going to help them fry the you-know-what. During the first week of the trial, and he said it in front of a judge, Judge Richard Klein, and a court stenographer overheard him say those words. Now, tell me that doesn't sound like a man who did not have a fair, who did not have a fair trial. And also, Lucretia Clemens, in her tentative decision, believes that a critical witness who testified against Mumia, Robert Chobert, who was driving a cab that night without a license and who had a pending case, she says that him asking the prosecutor, where's my money, is irrelevant and it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the case. The lady's being intellectually dishonest and looking out for her class interest, and we're not going to let that stand. So for those who care about justice and care about our aging political prisoners, they need to come home, and we're going to continue to fight. And like I said, we will be assembling on Friday, December 16th at 17th and Park Avenue at 5:30, leaving at 6 a.m. You can buy a ticket to get on that bus at bringmumiahome.com. There will be a protest outside the courtroom, and there will be people inside the courtroom. Whatever it is your pleasure, whatever makes you, you know, you feel you can do, please do it now.
Well, thank you so much for that. And people understand we must do this, but we must go further. And as we've been saying over and over and over on this program, until we, of people of conscience, stop voting for those without the demand to free our political prisoners, we're just whistling Dixie in the wind. And remember, as our dear sister Lynn taught us, the law is whatever they say it is at any given time. It has nothing to do with justice. It has to do with injustice. in this society. Sister Betty.
Once again, we've extended the program, but we will understand those of you who are also going to try to have the Zoom on as well for Mutula Shakur. And we've already given you three possible solutions of rebellion. Support Stolen Lives. Get out there on that YouTube and make your presence felt. Get it right in the chats. Support the families of those who were murdered by the Army of Occupation. Ann Lamb has given you an incredible website. Do something for our wonderful Leonard Peltier. That's the second thing you can do. And Sister Gwenda Brow has made it clear. You can get on the bus, and she told you when, and she told you where, and she told you how. So we've got three methods of resistance. Do something about it. Each one of us can make a difference. At this point, Jericho, Boston, Boston, Jericho, your mic is open. We want everybody to be aware. We know your topic is important. We want to get everybody in.
And as we said, Boston Jericho can help humanize Mutula Shakur by telling stories of how it was that while they were in the death camp. Kazi Torre, your yes. microphone is open.
Yes, yes, Brother Mike. Ralph, thank you. Thank you, Sister Betty, for the program and all the people that's been on. I'm driving right now, but I will say this. As far as the Stolen Lives goes, you know, people should, you know, read Jonathan and read George carefully. He gives us the fourth way of dealing with it. No.
All right.
Read them carefully. Read them carefully, you know, and I mean, that's the only way to stop burying some of their own. And we have three material. I hope brothers and sisters get on tonight at 10 o'clock. You know, Jericho, Free Mutula, and on the 16th, go down to Philly, Free Mumia, and let's get Leonard out. Free them all.
All right, but we have no choice. We have to extend our program because we've got a lot of organizing to do. However, even if you stay on, there will be time afterwards for you to join the wonderful Zoom for our brother Mutula Shakur. We're going to move right along. We've got an update from our sister, comrade, Sister Lisa Davis. She's got some terrible announcement to make. You should know Sister Afia already gave us some of the news. Sister Davis, Lisa Davis, your mic is open.
Yeah, I'm Lisa Davis with the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations, and the barbaric, savage state murdered Kevin Johnson. They love black blood. You know that. I don't have to tell anybody that. But there are so many things about this that were extremely problematic, one of them being that Bob McCulloch, however he pronounces his name, he was a prosecutor at that time, the same prosecutor who basically refused to prosecute Darren Wilson in the murder of Mike Brown. You know, he did not get an indictment when he brought it before the grand jury, and you know that's rigged when they don't do that because a prosecutor can get an indictment anytime they want. But that did not happen, and from what I understand, there were a lot of problems with how that went down, but I don't have so many details on that. But so he refused to do that, and but he sought the death penalty in this case of Kevin Johnson, who, you know, after witnessing the police, whom he thought could have done more to save his brother, his 12-year-old brother, and but he felt that they didn't try hard enough to save him. And, in fact, they said that the police were just stepping over his brother as he laid on the ground. He had had a seizure, and the police would not let the mother or anybody come to the young man to help him. And so, you know, by the time he got to the hospital, whatever, he was dead. But Kevin Johnson had felt that they could have done more. And, you know, going through such horrific grief and everything, he did what he did. But we should know that there was a white man, Trent Forster, afterwards, who was 18 years old and shot two police officers, killing one of them. But he boasted about wanting to kill police officers, like about a couple of months before he did it. He was talking about how he wanted to kill police officers. And he shoots two of them. He tried to kill both of them, but one of them dies. And the same rotten scoundrel, and, you know, I'm being polite here, rotten scoundrel prosecutor refused to seek the death penalty for Trent Foster. He just refused to do it. And so we clearly see, I mean, there are many reasons why I am against the death penalty, but this is certainly one of the main ones, because they will use it always as a weapon against our community. We will see many times they will let white people, they'll come up with excuses for them, and they will deliberately go after us. And, Brother Ralph, I was listening to what you were talking about in terms of how we have to move as a people, how we have to change our relationship to this whole damn system, because they don't respond to us because they know they don't have to. They know they don't have to, because they're going to turn around. So many of us are going to turn around and continue to, in one way or another, support this system. We vote against our own interests all the time as a collective. We really do, because we'll just vote the Democratic Party no matter what. And when we do these things, we are broadcasting not just to the Democrats, but to the Republicans and everybody else in power that you can do what you want to do to our community, and there ain't going to be no repercussions from it. That's a horrible message to continue to broadcast all the time, but I don't know any other way to say this other than to say it.
Because, and what we have voted for are colonial administrators, very few politicians among us. Charles Barron here in New York is a politician who brings something to his community, who supports his community. But most of those who call themselves politicians are merely doing the will of their colonial masters. That's why they're called colonial administrators. They come to administrate us for the benefit of the society that oppresses us. Thank you so much for that, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate the update, and I appreciate the editorializing as well. Brother Henry, your mic is open. Thank you so much for joining us again this evening.
Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph and Sister Lisa. I just quickly want to share with folks several books about Cuba that I think are important to better support and understand why the Cuban Revolution has been successful, and also to appreciate its devotion to supporting our struggle over the decades and the centuries. Of course, the first one I want to recommend highly to everyone who, if you haven't read it already, is Fidel and Malcolm by Sister Rosemary Mealy. It was published in 1993 and then republished in 2013 by Black Classic Press, and you can pick that up online. The second book is entitled Antonio Maceo, The Bronze Titan of Cuba's Struggle for Independence, written by Philip S. Foner. And Antonio Maceo was a celebrated general in the war against Spanish colonialism, but his legendary feats are worth studying because he became the model for how soldiers conduct themselves among the population as they travel through the spine of Cuba in their effort to free Cuba from Spanish colonial rule. So that's Antonio Maceo, The Bronze Titan of Cuban Struggle for Independence by Philip S. Foner. Another speech that should be studied is Fidel's History Will Absolve Me. After the attack on Moncada, which resulted in the Fidelistas, or the 26th of July movement, being rounded up and tortured, Fidel was put on trial, and he was put on trial under the under horrendous conditions. But the speech itself, the speech itself was a classic and was smuggled out of prison by a sister who circulated that information to the rest of the country. History will absolve me. But it's a classic in argument, and Fidel was a master. He was a lawyer himself by training. Another book that is important to understand was published by the Cubans in 1983, entitled Grenada, The World Against the Crime, in which they document the horrendous overthrow of the Maurice Bishop government and the New Jewel movement in Grenada. And they give their version of what took place. And it's important because Cuba was maligned in their presence in Grenada and what their purpose was for being in Grenada. And so I would encourage people to pick that up, Grenada, the World Against the Crime. Maurice Bishop spoke at Hunter College in 1983, just weeks and months before his government was callously overthrown by the United States. Also, two more books that I would suggest for reading right now is one entitled Inside the Monster, Writings by Jose Martí, the father of Cuban independence. Jose Martí is the intellectual author of Cuban independence, but he also spent time here in the United States. And he, like Ho Chi Minh, critiqued living conditions in the United States, particularly for people of color. And the fifth book that I would recommend is a book entitled Children of Che by Karen Wall. And she examines education and child care in Cuba. They may be hard to find, but they're books that help to us to understand why the Cuban Revolution remains a success, not only against the blockade, but as a beacon of inspiration to freedom fighters around the world. And of course, as Alambe pointed out some years ago, that when Africa called, Cuba answered, and the Cuban response was the strongest of all. So I just want to share those books tonight with the audience and encourage people to pick them up, because in doing so, we can understand better why the Cuban Revolution has been able to endure in spite of the horrendous blockade imposed upon it by the United States.
Well, thank you so much for that. Now, remember, the program is archived. You can listen to it again and get the names of those books. Education, education, education. That's what we're about. I'm being educated as I listen. Sister Betty.
Joel, your mic is open. Once again, we want to remind everybody, we want to get everybody in, and we will, but people, watch your time. Brother Joel, your mic is open.
Yes, I'm very glad that you mentioned the three actions that are taking place as we speak, and also taking place tonight in terms of building support for the liberation struggle, both for the veterans of the liberation struggle, who many of whom are still in prison to this day and who are not heralded enough by the movement that claims to speak in the name of the liberation struggle and which claims to continue that struggle, but doesn't pay enough attention to those who laid the foundations in past years and decades of struggle and who are still paying the price decades as political prisoners, either framed up or convicted of heroic acts of liberation struggle presented as crimes, but which are crimes only against the largest criminals that are at the head of the system that we all live under. So, and action is the key. It's not just talking about it, although the conceptual frameworks and the mentalities that we've developed are very important in motivating the struggle, but they're, again, their motivation for the struggle, but those ideas get tested in practice and strengthened by being put into practice and into action. And action is what it's all about. We need that action. And the actions that get taken, the more that we get back into the streets, and I say get back into the streets because there just hasn't been the kind of a presence that there was. And I have to say that the presence really shrunk during the Obama administration, especially because so many people were taken in by a Democratic Party led by an ostensibly black president, but sort of designed for that purpose, designed for the purpose of getting people to demoralize in a certain way, fighting against the system. People that thought, oh, if I oppose Obama, I might look like a racist or something, when actually he was the most effective head of the racist system. I mean, he started more wars were started under his administration than under any other president I could think of, at least in recent times. And we still have that. But the most tragic thing has been the shrinking of the protest movement, which has to come back into its own. And I want to say along those lines that a lot of people may feel, you know, like there was a predicted, they called it a red sweep or something like that, that the Republicans were supposed to be able to make. And they did take back the House and everything, and that's a move to the right. And but the fact is that a lot of what's happening now is a turbulence among the political parties, which is based on a total lack of confidence among the masses about those political parties, and a vacuum that somebody is going to have to fill. And we who are revolutionary have to, as much as possible, come together and increase our activities and our voices, and to do so in as public a manner as possible so as to change the conversation. Because right now, the crisis is being taken advantage of largely by forces that want even more oppression, even more war, and even more division between the races, and who are using demagogy that appeals to that to a certain degree. But many of those who are being swayed in that direction also have no confidence in the system. They deeply understand that this system is operated by the biggest bankers and corporation executives and owners, that whose wealth, whose trillionaire wealth, is based on what they have stolen from the people, both by direct genocidal theft, for example, of the land of the native people, through the centuries of racial slavery, and through the whole labor process, where we work and have nothing to show for it all of our lives, and they keep on getting richer and richer. But people are beginning to see through it now, and the ability of the system to buy back the minds of the Americans by making super profits around the world and then giving some of the crumbs from the table to the working class here is running out, and it's becoming more and more naked. And as Ralph pointed out in the beginning, So people are looking for solutions, and the right wing is looking to take advantage of that, and we have to be in there fighting them. We have to challenge them as supporters of the major criminals that people are really disgusted with at base and are being misled by those who want to increase oppression and war against the oppressed around the world. So I know that there was a rally about the COVID stuff that was largely led by the right wing that took place near City Hall. And it was mostly right-wing Republicans and their youngish followers, mainly from Staten Island. And it was a disgusting display of ignorance also, in which they were labeling de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo, the mayor and governor of New York City and state, respectively, as communists. And the one speaker after another were uttering these ridiculous labels to them. Now, I don't defend them, although I think that when they when the word communist is applied to them, what they're really doing is again what they're really attacking is the real opposition, the real solution of communism to all of the crises that were emerging during the COVID period. And I asked if I could speak, and after some hemming and hawing, they allowed me to get up there. And I said that I've heard a lot of complaining about the problems that we're encountering, but I haven't heard anybody speaking about solutions. And that unlike communists, Cuomo and de Blasio are both stooges of the biggest capitalists in the country, the people who really control the system. They're nothing but puppets of them. And that that if you want a solution, you have to take the power and the money away from the billionaires and trillionaires and let the regular people run the country in a real democracy instead of instead of what we have, which is a dictatorship of the super rich. And I said, if you talk this way, some people will label you communist or socialist because they're against the solutions, because we need a revolution that takes the wealth and power away from the super rich, and that's what the program of communism and socialism really is, to unite the regular people, the working people, the small business people, and so on, the productive population against those who exploit everybody else and send us into wars where we can murder and kill, murder each other and maybe come home in a casket fighting for the rich to get even richer. And it got the biggest applause. And these were all mostly fight-brainers. And I actually used the C word and the S word in a positive way, and it shows how we should not feel defeatist by the emergence of a lot of these things, because the rank and file there are very ignorant people. Of course, some of them could be fanatical racists or other lunatics that we can't really do very much with. But a lot of these people are just people that are disgusted by the system and are being blown hither and thither like farts in a windstorm in the wrong direction at this point, because we are not vociferous enough. We haven't really challenged the right-wing appeal. And
have to interrupt you there to remind people that you're quite a speaker and an educator, and you've been doing it for many years, and I applaud you for going before that crowd and giving them a little bit of education. Generally, when you do that, you get stoned, but to know that they applauded you is very, very, very moving. And thanks again. Look forward to your appeal next week. Sister Betty.
All right, we've got somebody from Philadelphia. I think it's the people who've been for years and for decades fighting to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. 2471, your mic is open. 215. Hello, your mic is open. Philadelphia. Hello, Philadelphia. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to go to the Midwest. And Brother Sierra, your mic is open.
Yes. The reason you don't know you've been lied to, conditioned, and brainwashed is because you've been lied to, conditioned, and brainwashed. And these are really facts that we all know are true. I'm going to read something to you that Mr. Mike Glass wrote, and then I chimed in with my rendition. Mike Glass wrote this. This is what Jingle Bells means. The Jingle Bells was for the owners to hear them hear the slaves trying to escape through the night. It was easier for the dogs to hear them. The more I learn, the more I steer away from these pagan traditions, teaching my kids the truth, not fairy tales. So I write, this is the root of the Christmas myth and song, Jingle Bells. If you didn't know, now you know. Don't do it, Africans globally, and those of us who were kidnapped, brought here to the U.S., all other Africans taken to France, the U.K., Portugal, dispersed throughout the colonized globe. We don't want to hear of any Holocaust, especially when over 150 million Africans died crossing the Atlantic. The Holocaust never accounted for our babies being used for alligator bait as sport, our skins being made into shoes, lampshades, our genitals being cut off and used as some mantle trophy, our women's genitals being brutally, savagely cut on, experimented on, raped, our little babies being raped, and the colonial crimes against Africans are well over 600 years. And these colonial institutions still induce Africans with the harshest medieval medical treatments that never pose a cure. Imagine inhumane treatments that never pose a cure. Imagine inhumane treatments no different than the 1948 State of Israel that was formed by the U.S., backed by the U.S., weaponized to kill Palestinians and take land and resources, and you want us to cry for them. The fakers in Israel who use state media and Hollywood tactics to produce crimes against Israel and convince foolish people who go along with the game that the Palestinians are the perpetrators when Israel steamrolls, butchers, rapes Palestinians, and seizes the Palestinian land all day, every day, backed by the U.S., the U.S.-run UN. Malcolm X stated it best when he said this, no, let them cry for themselves. Speaking of those in Israel and these so-called liberal ones here in the U.S., more to say I have. Now, all you smart Africans, fill in the blanks. Africans, stop being Boule agents. Stop being bell rings that are duped, dumbed down, led astray, misled, or willing participants. Africans, let us continue the revolution. Let us not let our children, our grandchildren, continuously letting them down. Stop jingling those damn bells. Let's jingle some revolution. Uhuru, Vanguard up, Izwe Lithu e Africa. Hands off of Africa, hands off of Uhuru. These are the words I had to say tonight. And
Uhuru, freedom now.
Starvation is at an epidemic proportion, because as you well know, that Biden went in to kind of deal with the unions on the trains shutting down. I foresee these things are going to happen. And if we haven't seen starvation yet, with all the homelessness that we have all around us every day, it grows. And you see the lack of care, concern by these same individuals that say that they care about the people that we vote for, the people we put into position. Then we find out that those who were really for the people, like you would say, the brother's name up in New York, who really fights for the people. Yes. You don't hear his name resounding in the mass media. He's done a lot of accomplishments. He's not alone. But we never get that mainstay media which suppresses and oppresses us. And I'm sorry to say that after the execution of our brother Kevin Johnson, who did not deserve to die, I agree wholeheartedly with what Sister Lisa said, that there are two separate laws, one for them and one for us. I want to thank you very much, Yehuva.
Well, thank you so very much for your enlightenment weekly. Sister Betty.
We want to give a few moments to one of our warriors who's been in the field fighting for a long, long time. Brother Tom, can you hear us? Brother Tom, can you hear us? Okay, we're going to come back to him. Oh, okay.
Yes,
thank you
very much.
Uh-huh.
Until Americans understand their history, the governing Wall Street oligarchy will continue to pit people against each other, such as robbing the indigenous of their lands and then putting them in concentration camps, euphemistically called reservations, such as forcing the Cherokees out of the southern states forcing in the infamous Trail of Tears, such as in the 1840s attacking Mexico and annexing the entire Southwest, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, and California, such as in 1898 used the sinking of the U.S. battleship Maine and then made the remnant of the Spanish colonies by the United States making Cuba a so-called protectorate with a military base at Guantanamo and taking over the island of Guam and the Philippines as U.S. colonies, such as putting U.S. Japanese citizens living on the West Coast into concentration camps. The so-called Dr. Fauci, the head of the Center for Disease Control, making the claim that young gays are spreading the monkey virus. This has resulted in attacks on gay clubs, and some gays have been killed. All this are examples of imperialism, which is in a critical state of crisis and is now in an inflationary period in which every week prices go up. But none of this is working, and none of this can work until we get rid of capitalism. And more and more people, and not only people of color, but white working class people, have become more and more aware of the failures of this system. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so very much, Sister Betty.
All right. I'm going to try our friends from Philadelphia, but it looks like their mic is shut down. So we're going to try 8812. Your mic is open. Did you want to say a few words? 8-8, your mic is open. 8-8-12? 8-8-12. All right.
Yeah, keep the line, Sister Betty. How are you doing?
Oh,
all
right.
On mute. Yeah, this is Sister Fatima Mevs in Miami.
Oh.
And, yeah, just really enjoying the show and all the announcements and the unity and the spirit of the show. Yeah.
I am so happy you called in. I know you, like myself and Comrade Ralph, are extremely upset over this attempt to totally take the freedom-loving people of Haiti off the national map. I know you're keeping up with the excuses and the way they have set Haiti up for chaos. Did you want to comment on that?
Thank you, Sister Betty. Absolutely. But it's been ongoing ever since our independence.
Exactly.
It never let up. First, there were the sanctions, and then the Simon Bolivar did come with his army, and it's not that they occupied or took anything, but they were given a lot of gold from Haiti and with a lot of love. However, after liberating all the nations, they kind of turned their backs on Haiti, right? And it's just been ongoing, the 1915 invasion. And we all know the rest. So we're still resisting that with as strong an arm and as possible, and many, many international comrades. And that's so appreciated. Yeah.
Well, we see parallels between what they are doing to Haiti and what they're trying to do to Cuba. Anybody who stands up and is victorious, they never stop. And that's a lesson to us. Those of us who struggled and fought in the 60s and went home because we thought it was over, they never stop. And as Tom and Joel are saying, this is a class war. This is a race war. This is a nationalist war. And we've got to win it if we want to continue to have a planet to live on. I thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you will come back. What's happening in Florida with regard to education is an abomination. What's happening with regard to the people who are first-generation immigrants is an abomination. So please come back and share your wisdom with us in the future. Brother Ralph?
Well, my brothers and sisters, in conclusion, we live in a society that projects happiness and giving of plenty in this season. While many are hungry, depressed, and without much to give. This scenario has become a totally invasive TV event, while denying many of those of color the ability to participate in this dream. This is psychologically destructive and tragically deadly to our young regularly every Christmas season. I call it the Christmas killing of our children. And my brothers and sisters, we must deal with that culturally, politically, educationally. Otherwise, this must change, and we are the people with the ability to change it. As many have said, we are our own liberators. We must liberate ourselves and our communities. And the struggle continues. Thank you for your participation this evening. And with that said, Sister Betty.
I want to remind you that tomorrow evening we have a very special program on WBAI. Our program airs at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the call-in number is 212-209-2877. Tomorrow night, we have two wonderful warrior women, Yesudei Oramila and Amanda Wallace. And these two warriors have been organizing all over the country against the CPS. Now, those of you who don't know what CPS stands for, think about the slave catchers snatching children. We're talking about the alleged child protective services. Now, we do know that many of our children, because of oppression, are in situations that endanger them. What we are saying, the state, as it is constituted now, is not the answer. And if you want to know what the answer is, please join us tomorrow evening on WBAI, Stop the Slave Catchers. Listen to Sister Yesudei Oramila and Amanda Wallace and start organizing to take community control over our families. Take back our families. Take back our schools. Take back our health system. Take back and recall these politicians that are warehousing apartments in this city to the tune of 60,000 to 90,000 affordable housing that they are keeping off the market so that they can charge high rents. Brother Ralph?
My brothers and sisters, understand the economy there. You have homelessness. Think of yourself as being homeless, not being able to put your medicine someplace, not being able to close a door from the outside, not being able to say, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. This is homelessness. I think it's going to rain. I think I may be cold. A tragedy. Living in, what would we call them? Living in political and economic centers in the basement. Living in train, in subways. And it goes on, hiding under bridges, in tunnels. Homelessness. Homelessness is death. And things can be done about that. And so
let's give you those marching orders again. You know you have to Google, go to YouTube for Stolen Lives. This weekend, December 2nd.
No.
Stolen Lives. Did I get the wrong day?
Yes, you did.
Saturday, December
3rd.
I'm sorry. In addition to that, you need to call for Leonard Peltier and demand his freedom. And in addition, December 16th, get on the bus and go to Philly and demand the release of Mamia Abu-Jamal. With regard to Matula Shakur, he needs our help. He needs all kinds of medical support. He needs all kinds of support when he's leaving the prison because he is so ill. So Google Mutulu Shakur and go to the link or go to New York City Jericho and find out what you can do to support Mutulu Shakur. And on that note, folks,
give us all
night.
A Christmas gift. Give us all a Christmas gift. Dig in your pocket. Contribute to the coming home of Mutulu Shakur. That will be that we can all celebrate. Thank you, and good night, my brothers and sisters.